Access number 27775, Mr. Ted Hancock, Reel 3. Now, so what happens next then?
Yes, can I just say to you that in the Kingsway, you should ask me about the shows, and in the Kingsway we appeared at the Kingsway.
Now where's that?
The Kingsway Theatre in London, which was a huge theatre, and we would do our show there. And at the same time, we would have 300 Boy Scouts waiting outside in the rain or snow, waiting to go onto the stage because they couldn't get into the theatre. We would do our show, and then Ralph Reeder and his gang show used to appear after us, and they would troop on the stage, you know, and so on and so forth from the thing. And at the other end of the stage thing, we appeared in the early days. We appeared around the country, and a couple of times we used to go on stage before us or after us. There was this little show which was like Nude Women of Today. And it was the man who eventually became the Soho porn.
The one who did the Windmill Theatre.
It wasn't the Windmill Theatre. It was his name will come back to me in a minute. But he was the man that made Soho turn eventually, and he used to do these. 12 nudes behind several skeins of muslin and things, and the showgirls didn't have to move or twitch a muscle, otherwise the show would be taken off. He used to go on before us sometimes. I can't think of his name. Raymond Review Bars.
So what else? How did it all? What's the next thing that happens as you're going through the years of the war?
In what way?
Well, I mean, what happens next?
I'm just trying to conform it and bring it. Eventually, we went to. I'm trying to think. After the war, we went.
No, but during the war.
Yes,
I mean,
I'm trying to think during the war. Well, we just carried on doing touring all the way up and down the country all the time, you know.
But there are no more specific incidents you remember from the war years?
Not really. As I say, we visited all those troop camps and things like that. We came down to London and appeared at Mansion House. We appeared at Buckingham Palace.
What do you remember of that?
We went into Buckingham Palace courtyard and appeared in the courtyard there at the time. We appeared on the Royal Bandstands in Green Park, giving shows. On that same, and then we appeared all around London in different civic places.
So what about the end of the war then, VE Day? Do you remember any special shows or celebrations then?
VE Day, we all went, and we were actually in Piccadilly on VE Day, and we're all over the moon with the thing.
What do you mean you were in Piccadilly? You mean were you in a theatre in Piccadilly, or were you just in Piccadilly?
We were in Piccadilly enjoying ourselves, all of us. The cast and everybody.
What do you remember of the celebrations? You'd be about 15 then, wouldn't you?
Quite incredible celebrations. The euphoria was absolutely magnificent. People were climbing up and down lampposts, and it was 100% happy. There were no bad moments for anybody.
Now, was the show wound up, or rather the official support for the show wound up straight away? What happened to your show? I mean, the war's over. Well, Japan's a couple of months later. What happened next?
After the war, it didn't quite finish then, because we went to the Channel Isles.
Now, tell me about that.
We went we went and appeared at Swanson's in the Channel Isle in Jersey, and Pontins holiday camp in Jersey.
Now, why the Channel Islands?
Well, they were just bookings that were made. I don't know how they were made or whatever. And we appeared in Guernsey to boost the Channel Isles. They'd been occupied, so we went to make them happier, you know, and bring normality back to the to everything. And strange enough, while we were in Jersey at that time, which is a coincidence in a way, Julie Andrews used to travel on the trains with us when she was 11 years old, up and down the country singing, and you know, just as it's like meeting her on a bus type of thing, you know. But she wasn't with our actual act, but she sometimes used to be in the same train carriage, and we used to share our sandwiches and oranges and apples with each other, then when she was about 15, I think, something like that, or less, we went to the Channel Isles and appeared, and she appeared at the same theatre that we appeared at, the Ritz Cinema in the Channel Isles, that's why we went to the Channel Isles anyway.
And what happened next after the Channel Islands?
I think we gradually broke up then.
Now, why did you break up? Was this because the government no longer supported it, or what was happening?
No, I think I really don't know why we broke up. I think it just came to an end. You know, possibly our contract came to an end with the government. I don't know.
So what happened to you then? What was that? 1946 then, or 1940?
Just at the end of the war. It would be after the end of the war.
Or would it be as far? How soon after? Because you went to
more or less immediately.
I thought you went to the Channel Islands.
Yeah, just after the war. You know, and we were only there for a fortnight, say.
So in 1945. So what happened to you and what, you know, your parents? Or wait, your stepfather, your mother?
Well, we came back and I then got a job in London in Lily White's.
What as?
General outfitters. I used to fit the skates and bind the golf clubs and warehouse man type of thing. And then I was introduced immediately because of my expertise onto the shop floor. And I used to sell and fit the skates and all manner of sportswear, high class sportswear, croquet clubs and things, golf clubs, and menswear as well.
Now, so you weren't doing any stage work at all?
No, not then. No.
Where were your parents? Were they doing stage work, or where were?
No, it was all finished then.
Where were they?
They were up north. Just outside Huddersfield.
Now, what happened? How long were you at Lily White's then?
Possibly 6 months or something like that. When I was at Lily White's, I digged at Wigmore Street by the Wigmore Hall, where we had appeared previously, there was a chauffeur with his limousine. And in the Mews in Wigmore Street, there were flats above them, very expensive now, and that's where I digged. And it cost me, I remember, £4 a week, which was a lot of money. I think I got about £6 a week or something like that, wages, and I had to exist on the £2.
Did you miss the stage?
Yes and no. But at the time, you know, many things were happening. And I used to walk from Wigmore Street all the way down Regent Street to Lily White's, and opened the Lily White's store about 7:30 in the morning. The flower ladies hadn't appeared yet on Eros, because there used to be six flower ladies, you know, with the flower baskets, and they used to start setting their stall up about 7 or 7:30, and London used to come to life. But why I'm telling this is, I'd walk the whole way down Regent Street, and it was like a dead city. There was only a policeman if you saw him, if there was one, or a milkman if you saw him, or a postman if you saw him. I was the only one walking down the whole of Fleet Street. There was nothing.
Now that wasn't going to be your career, though. What was your final career? We just find out what you did to finish the interview.
For a time, I was a salesman. Outfitters, gents outfitters, high class outfitters, and then also at the co-op in Wood Green. Again, I was selling, salesman selling clothes and things. I went to. That was after Jersey, sorry, the cooperative and the selling. But and then eventually I went to Jersey myself. My sister went to Jersey. My uncle went to. I used to live with my uncle, and we had a hotel in Brighton Hove for a while when I was about 14 at one time, for about 3 months, sometime rather in that same. And then they went off to Jersey. And then my sister followed them to Jersey, and then I followed them to Jersey, and then I became a beach photographer in Jersey, and I ended up with three shops, and I ended up by being in partnership with Lord Louth, the Irish Lord, you know, and then why I'm telling you that is that's where I gained my expertise in photography. Used to use 35mm cameras on the beach doing happy snaps, and I was only young. I was only about 16 then, and people used to say, "Please, sir, will you come and take a photograph of us?" Because nobody had had any film, and Jersey was treated as an export country, and we had as much film as we liked, so we became 35mm experts, you know. Then when I came back to England, I became a high society photographer, Mayfair Press and Society Press and Portman Press photographer, you know, doing all the major weddings. And I did the major princess, by that, then I went into Fleet Street, and I became a top Fleet Street ace, and I used to do all the Prince and Margaret weddings and things like that, and anything that happened at the palace, investitures.
And you enjoyed it?
Ambassadorial photographer for all nations, and that's my picture of the Beatles coming over Abbey Road. Have you ever seen that zebra crossing picture? I set that first one up. Other people reported it, and I did the first photography of the first zebra crossing, the second zebra crossing, and the third one, which was Abbey Road. They called us in to get the Beatles free publicity. And I used to be with people like Virgin Boss, giving him free ideas when he was 17.
So you enjoyed your career as a photographer, and you didn't miss the stage then?
No, but I was on stage all the time with them all. I gave Pavarotti his first, break when Covent Garden, when he did his debut, because I did the photographs and nobody else would take his photograph. He wasn't well known enough, you know, over here, along with people like Joan Sutherland and Joan Hammond. He used to be with them all, Gielgud and everybody. And I never told them all, but I was on that stage, not before Gielgud, because Gielgud started in 1935, but before all these other, like Pavarotti and everything, I was actually on that stage. And when we first went to that stage, after having performed behind little bits of sheet and blankets across, we had to do al fresco, you know, make a little bit of curtains for ourselves wherever we went, you know, for the showgirls and things, just to open the curtain or whatever. Might be a couple of sheets over a string. And then we went to these huge. We opened the Gaumont Theatre. at Kentish Town, and the drapes, that's what I'm getting at, and Covent Garden drapes, when you they're open mechanically, and then knock you down. They're so big and heavy, you know, if you get in the way, they'll literally knock you down. So, but you know, all the different levels of thing, from nothing to maximum luxury. And I used to go to maximum luxury at the the palace and everywhere, and always I was fated in Fleet Street, free drinks, free everything, you see, because they want your publicity, and no matter how big you are, you can't, whoever you are, you can't buy the front page. If I can introduce you to the front page, that's big news. And then I went on to doing all sorts of medical first, the first heart transplant, the first kidney dialysis machine, the first crash helmet, the first safety belt.
You took the pictures of them?
Yeah, and made things happen that wouldn't have happened, or wouldn't have happened as quickly. I actually got the Thames Barrier going, because nobody would believe it was happening, and the minister that I used to talk to used to give lip service, but nobody really did anything. So he's been at Downing Street saying, look, if you don't do something about it shortly, the River Thames is going to flood the whole of the inner London, you know. And it was flooding the upper and lower reaches of the Thames all the time. I used to do little stories and get publications, go and photographed by Tower Bridge or Westminster Bridge the high and low water mark is Cleopatra's Needle on the Thames embankment. Right up and down the Thames there are high and low water markets, Teddington and as well, you know, and places were being flooded all the time. Warehouses, even London docks were being flooded all the time in the high water. Nobody was doing anything about
it. So you took the photographs to publicise it?
Yeah, that's right. So I took these pictures each time, made a big, London is going to, you know, be swamped. And at that time I was working for London Transport as well. And London Transport were terribly worried because the water used to flood over the embankment down into Westminster Tube. Anyway, they eventually got a contest going and ideas to build some sort of barrier, or what can we do with it. I used to go and photograph all those things and models being shown at County Hall, and then they picked out one design, and it was a gas fitter, and he the Thames Barrier is designed on the principle of an ordinary gas tap. And they've just made it huge, and it lets in the water and everything by controlling that. And he died before the barrier was completed. But many things, and I helped to bring in the Clean Air Act with my publicity for air monitors on the Air Ministry roof, and the St Thomas's Hospital, and around there were about four or five, and then they put the air monitors down on the roads, you know, for pollution, and then found out it was so bad that I used to work for Port of London Authority as well, and they found out, and there used to be 30,000 dockers in the Port of London, and they eventually, pollution was killing everybody, yellow smog, young and old people were dying, babies were dying, young old people were dying. And eventually they moved all the dockers out of London because of these stories. And my stories went worldwide at one time. London is killing themselves, like Los Angeles was. And they pushed all the dockers out into new towns around London. They got them all out, and they containerised the docks down to Tilbury. And that's why the Canary Wharf has been allowed to grow. And years ago, I used to walk down the Thames on the river from lighter to lighter. You know what I mean by lighters? You know, the the barges. I used to walk down there with my press camera, photographing all the buildings from the. And if I wanted a police launch, I used to ring up and ask for a police launch, and they used to take me down.
So you're very influential with your photography.
Yeah, well, I used to be with Robert Maxwell if I wanted to be, with Pergamon Press. He used to say, "Ted, can you do a job for me?" I said, "No, I'm too busy." You know, and he was the top man. And when I took the first electronic flashes and the first 35mm cameras into Fleet Street, and they all said, I was about 23 or something like that, and all the old fellas, and even, you know, 30, 40, 50-year-old men, they all thought I was crazy, because they used to use glass plates. I'll show you in a minute. I'll show you the camera that I eventually helped to design. But now they've all got these long focus lenses, and I took the first sneak photographs, paparazzi photographs of Prince Charles. I photographed Prince Charles's announcement on Buckingham Palace railings. A son has been born, etc. And you know, they announced his birth, and it was placed on the railings of Buckingham Palace, you see, for everybody to see. And then when he was 5 years old, nobody could get near him in those days with a camera or anything. And when he was 5 years old, he went to the Duke of York Theatre as a kindergarten school in Chelsea, you know, Chelsea Barracks. And I did some sneak photography of him from a distance from a house, and got him inside the snake, a little snake of kiddies going in, and that was the first pictures that were of Prince Charles to be seen.
And was that a telescopic lens?
Yeah,
or
the big, very, very big, long tele. We used to photograph the cricket and everything at Lord's with it, you know. We were Lord's photographers as well, everything in sporting game. And I used to be, in 1966, I used to be with Bobby Moore and all the major people at the major sporting events. At the other end of the scale, I used to be a Wimbledon tennis photographer. And at the other end of the scale, I used to be the AA photographer, photographing all the signboards for Wimbledon fortnight, you know. And we used to decide where they had to be.
Thank you very much.